Luke 11, starting on, I guess, about 47. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear, in the closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Verse 3, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear, in the closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. It's not talking about something you tell someone else. This is the definition of your closet. That which you have spoken in your ear for yourself in the closets shall be spoken on the housetop. You understand? Let's go to Matthew 6 now. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Verse 5. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, the better way of saying that is, whenever you enter into your closet, pray. The definition, from God's standpoint, of your closet is when you begin a thought process of any kind where you are the subject of the sentence. If one instant you begin being concerned with yourself, that means you have entered the closet. You understand? One instant you enter the closet. The closet is the vehicle or the housing over the seven mountains on the Whore of Babylon. The closet is the covering of the whore in you. When you begin a thought process where you are the subject of your sentence, it doesn't matter how religious you are about it. It doesn't matter if you are praying. It doesn't matter if you are thinking. It doesn't matter if you are planning. It doesn't matter if you're worried about someone's response to you. If you are the subject of the sentence, you've entered the closet. And you've defiled the closet. The closet, from this standpoint, is the Holy of Holies. The closet, the word closet, and the word canopy, wedding canopy, are the same word. And the function of preaching, the function of the Holy Spirit, the function of God, is the cleansing of the closet. And that's why the disciples' prayer was given. The opposition to it, or in opposition to it, is hypocrisy. The opposition to it is any form of hypocrisy. In the natural, or in the time of Christ, it was when they stood in the synagogue and prayed, their Amida, and they prayed on the street corners, and they sounded bells. Well, any act of prayer on your part, where you're the subject, is exactly the same thing. Can you feel what I'm talking about? How does this affect me? It's becoming so apparent in this great transgression hot seat in the stealth group. And it's going to kill me unless they begin to see that any time you're in a room of people and they begin to say, yes, I am guilty of that, whatever I'm saying to that person, what they've done is it's like in the spirit they've taken an electrical cord and plugged into the evil one and are energizing it. Because you have entered into the closet defiled in an alliance with the evil one. And you know, do you understand? The idea of living a life in which the personal pronoun, the first person, was never used. The only time Paul ever used it is he apologized. He said, I speak as a fool. Now it's time to clean some closets. The Lord's Prayer, what the world calls the Lord's Prayer, is not a formula for prayer. It's not something that is to be repeated by rote. It's something by which you can see is a total and complete frontal attack on your ego. It's a frontal attack on their closet. I think I'm talking to the... Somebody, I mean, you must have some response. This is the wildest thing I've ever said. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, not mine. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What it really says is, give us this day the bread of tomorrow, the bread of eternity, the manna of life. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses. What you're asking for forgiveness for is, if you're walking in a clear state, is for the act of going into that closet at that minute. You understand? The instant you become the subject of your thought, that's the instant that the Lord's Prayer should be said. Your ego cannot withstand the Lord's Prayer. Your opinions cannot withstand the Lord's Prayer, if you see what it means. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or as we forgive those who have transgressed. The point is, there's another great thing about the closet. If there is anyone on the face of the earth that you haven't forgiven, you're living in the closet already. Forgive us our transgressions as we forgive our transgressors. Lead us not into temptation, but on the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, not me, and the power and the glory forever. And for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Why? Because the closet is stench. You spend your... God isn't in the... He wants you out of there. Understand? Can you see how much simpler your life would be if you knew that the instant that you began being concerned with you or yours, in your thought process, in the closet, what you speak to yourself in your ear, at that instant, the Lord's Prayer is the automatic. Otherwise, you're going to be judged by the activities in your closet. This is your life. There's your birth, and there's your death. And every thought and every deed that you've ever done and will ever do is on that line. And you look at it, and at some point along the way, you say, aha! Maybe there's a God. Aha! Maybe now I can just wipe all this out. But God looks at your life like that. And you're either in the closet, which is this line, or you're in Christ, which is over here. And they can't have anything to do with each other. That's the inseparable gulf that Abraham's bosom is in Christ. The Hades is over here in the closet. I expect in the next few days and weeks to make your closet so intolerable. Thank you. That you will leave it forever. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, i.e., I am seated with him in the heavenlies. Give us this day tomorrow's bread, the manna, the true manna. And deliver us, forgive us our debts or our transgression of even going into the closet as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Do you see the elegant simplicity of that? Otherwise, you will be as these folks in Luke that we just looked at, Luke 12. And there will be some idiot like me speaking to you. And you will lie in wait, seeking to catch something out of his mouth that you might accuse. It's an automatic. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Now the purpose of those little things called a hot seat is for you to experience the judgment seat of God. So you'll jump quickly off the judgment seat, off this line, and jump into the mercy seat. You can't see it. You can't see it. You can't perceive it. You can't touch it.
It's too big.
But when you're there, you know it. And nothing on the face of this earth can touch you. All of this is magic. Maps. Education, ways of thinking, opinions, ideas, successful ways of dealing with life, hormones, magic. You jump off into grace. You can't see it. The only thing you can know is you know when you are the subject of your sentence. You know if that's the case, you're back in magic. Not KMGC magic. Evil magic. It's probably appropriate that Rick's working for magic. I hope you understand. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Why would he say that in juxtaposition between being proclaimed upon the house? Hear me. You got to see this connection. Whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light. That which you have spoken in the ear or in your ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, the next sentence has got to give you a clue that this is going to be a dangerous trip. Because he says next, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. i.e., if you say, what is here that you have privately spoken in the closet, in your ear, you will be threatened with the death of your own body. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into Hades, hell. Except here it's Tartarus. Remember the 12th labor? That's the place of the evil. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, again, he's saying all that don't fear stuff because you're going to be faced with no more speaking in your ear. You're going to be faced with the thing that says whatsoever comes into your mind is from the word of God to be proclaimed no matter what the cost. Without considering it, without Satan's half second, without moving it and playing it and putting it into your witch's cauldron and mixing the eye of a newt and the hair of a toad and mixing it into your own witch's brew and sorcery so that you can spew it out as vomit. God demands prophecy. Instantly, always, in season, out of season, but it's going to cost you. You're going to be threatened with death for doing it. Kabish. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall a Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. To confess Jesus Christ doesn't mean to say Jesus Christ lives. To confess Jesus Christ means that you, to say that you don't live. To confess Jesus Christ is this, Revelation says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophesying. Well, but I don't have anything to say. Well, who said that? Oh, but I'm afraid I don't understand. Who said that? I is the subject of the sentence. Therefore, I is the accuser. Therefore, I is the definition of the son of Satan. The accuser. And the accuser loves magic. That's his basis of existence. I say unto you, who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. The word deny there isn't the word, it means to build a dam. It's a Greek word which means to dam the flow of water. If you deny him, you deny him. God doesn't care what he says, oh, I believe in Jesus, or I don't believe in Jesus. He doesn't give a shit about that. He cares that you do not put a dam up before that seed of Christ, which is your life. He cares that you have no governor. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Why? Because you're going to do it. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. You know what the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost is? He just defined it. To deny Jesus before men. Again. To deny him, each of you. In some manner or some way have said in some activity that Christ is a viable possibility. And you're up here trying to make the magic work in the name of Jesus. And so you do it sometimes, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you feel bad. Sometimes you dam it up, sometimes you let it out. All of it magic. All judged by God is one moment in time. get off that thing. This is intolerable. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the judges and powers, which I guarantee you they will do, if you do what we've just said, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. If you're not supposed to take any thought when your very life is in danger, the principle of interpretation says you should therefore take no thought any time. Take no thought what you're going to say. Oh, I'm just trying to get it right. I'm just trying to mull it over. You dumb fucks. You gotta know by now you can't get by with that anymore. If that's the game you want to play, you should have never met me. Holy Ghost shall teach you what to say in the same hour. Instantly. In season, out of season. Remember, the subject of the beginning of this process was beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy simply means not letting out that which is within. God doesn't care what's in there. Let it out. Then it's his business. If you keep it in and consider it and mull over it, it's your business, and you're judged against the whole life. Oh, but I'm starting to see things. I'm getting better. Fucking Gary. You're looking at me like you did. Only you're just not nice. Get out of your closets, that the Holy Spirit might flow rivers of living water through it and cleanse them from the filth that's there. Well, I'm just that way. It's just my personality that I sit around and think about stuff. Yeah.